Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
It really is great to be back with you in this beautiful city and this amazing church. Pastor Mike mentioned you're part of a family of churches all across Canada. The Alliance, we've rebranded. We're no longer the Christian Missionary Alliance. We're the Alliance. And together we have a vision prayer. And as we begin our time together this morning, I would just like to lead us in prayer as we pray that vision prayer. Well, God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Amen. Our role as a district, you're part of about 115 churches in Alberta and one in Northwest Territories. Our role as district staff is to actively partner with you as we seek to see this vision prayer lived out in different ways. You don't have to have the same language as us, but lived out in different ways in all of the different contexts that we find ourselves in. One of the best ways that we actively partner with you is this idea of installation. And Mike, you stole my line. It's like, is it a new modem coming in or something? An installation service. Well, let me reframe that a little bit. Let's call it a launch party. It sounds a lot more fun than installation. Like, installation sounds like one of those old dad jokes that we talk about. So let's think of today as a bit of a launch party, not just for Brent and for Lori, but for you as a church to say we're on a new chapter, a new journey. We have an amazing past, which you do. And we think that God's going to do even greater things in our future. So this morning I'm going to talk largely to Brent, a little bit to the congregation as a whole. And so when we think about how do you have an amazing launch into the future, one of the great ways to do that is to look back and say, were there any great leaders in the past? And what did they do? Well, one of the greatest leaders for the people of God was King David. And a commentary comes about what made David so great from the psalmist. Now, you may know that David wrote a bunch of psalms, so I actually did a little work to make sure, was David writing this about himself? Thankfully not. Asaph wrote this about David. In Psalm 78:72, he said that David shepherded with integrity of heart and with skill of hand, he led God's people. And so, Brent, as you launch this new ministry and as we celebrate that today, we want to look at what does it mean to shepherd or to lead with integrity of heart and with skill of hand? A couple of things come to mind to me as we think about integrity of heart, and they were part of our national vision prayer, and some of the same things that I mentioned to your pastor, Randall, on his ordination, which you haven't forgot yet. No. We lead as Christ-centered people. Actually read it this morning in my own time, reflecting on Scripture. I read it from the Message version of Scripture, which I'm reading through this year, and I read it in Mark 8. And it says, move over. Let Jesus be the driver in your life. One of the other ways that I like that to consider this whole idea of being Christ-centered comes from Luke 9:23, where it says, we take up our cross daily. If you're going to lead, Brent, with integrity of heart, lead that Christ-centered life. Live in death to self and life in Christ. There may be a temptation on your part to say, I'm a younger leader coming in. I need to prove myself. The great news is you don't. One, you have a great group, a great church that supports you, but it's Jesus and you that'll allow you to lead effectively. So lead. Integrity of heart means you lead Christ-centered. It means also that you lead spirit-centered. Empowered. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Lead with the fruit of the Spirit. Luke 11:13 says, ask the Father and the Father will generously give you the Spirit. It's a part of what it means to be a leader within our tribe of churches. We are Christ-centered and we are Spirit-empowered. But let me move a little bit more as I've thought and prayed about today, Brent, some other things that I believe God would say to you as you begin your ministry here, and how you can lead with integrity of heart. Jesus talked to Peter after Jesus' resurrection, and if you know the context, it was Peter had denied Jesus three times, but then Jesus came to Peter and he said this, "Do you love me more than these?" And so, Brent, if you're going to continue to lead with integrity of heart, you need to grow in a deep and a deepening love for Jesus. And sometimes for those of us that this is our vocation and our calling in life, it's a bit easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get sidetracked to say, I want to study and learn. What does it mean to be a great leader? And sometimes we can love ministry more than Jesus. It's easy to say, I want to be a better preacher, which we all need to grow in. It's easy to say, I love this idea of leading a church into mission locally and regionally and globally. And we can get so caught up in this art and craft of leadership that we can love it more than Jesus. Brent, I've talked with you enough, and one of the things I deeply appreciate about you is your mind, and you study, and you think, and you reflect. And it's easy to get caught up in studying Scripture so much and other resources so much that it actually can take us away from a deep love of Jesus. If you're going to lead with integrity of heart, if you're going to launch well, love Jesus more and more every day. But there's another love that you need to have, Brent. I'll get to the rest of you soon. It's a deep love for your wife, Lori. This is a great passage. You know it, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. If you're going to launch well and you're going to model to your congregation well, what does it mean to be a leader who leads with integrity of heart? Love Lori well. Be a great husband. Be a great dad as well. I'd like to read just a passage of Scripture. This is the Apostle Paul teaching to Timothy, and it reflects around integrity of heart. And it's from 1 Timothy 6, beginning at verse 2. Here's what it says. I'm going to jump down to verse 11. "But you, Brent, are a man of God. So run from all of these things." These things are pursuing money, pursuing position, everything else. "But you, Brent, as a man of God, run from all of these things. Pursue righteousness and a godly love, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find you at fault from now until our Lord Jesus comes again." Lead with integrity of heart. I'd like to speak to the congregation and read from 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's from the Message version, and it says this. "And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience." Here's a great line, congregation. "Overwhelm your pastors and your leaders with appreciation and love." This new launch of a ministry isn't just a launch of Brent and Lori among you. It's a launch for you as a church, as a whole. And as Brent seeks to lead with integrity of heart, it's an opportunity for all of the church to come together and say, we can do great things together. So how will you overwhelm your leaders with appreciation and love? So let me give you some ideas as a congregation. The first is prayer. Will you commit to praying regularly for your pastor? A couple years ago at our prayer retreat, I had a conversation with a pastor who told me about Lori's great-grandmother, who was actually also my grandmother, and told me that when his parents had died, that my grandmother committed to pray for the pastor daily. And every time he was up preaching, she was praying for him. I believe God is prompting some of you right now to say, I'm going to pray daily for Brent. And you have two services here, and so it's great. Maybe God is prompting some of you to say, during one service, I'm going to listen and attend and bring Scripture into my life, but in the next service, I'm going to pray. Pray for your pastors. Another one you can do is offer them encouragement, and not just a, hey, that was a great sermon, but specific, actual encouragement. You know, the way you handled that passage, which I never understood, and you brought that context to light, that helps me in my spiritual life. The way you trained me so that as I seek to have conversations about God in my community, those training sessions really benefited me. Very specific encouragement. And sometimes you might be tempted to provide ways that Brent or some of the other pastors could serve even better. That's my positive way of saying being critical. Don't be afraid to say how your pastors could be better, but could you put it in a way that's positive? And could you say, here's 10 things that are amazing, and here's how it could be even better? And as someone who served in a local church for many years, could you not correct my sermon when I'm leaving on the way out? You know, at least wait till Tuesday after my day off before you would do that. Those types of better ifs. So all of our pastors need input, but boy, can you give it in a positive way after you've been praying for people and encouraging them. That'll help you as a church lead with integrity of heart. That will help your pastors lead with integrity of heart as well. So David shepherded with integrity of heart. He also shepherded with skill of hand. So we've looked at our vision prayer to be Christ-centered and Spirit-empowered. But part of leading with skill of hand means that we also need to be mission-focused. Listen to Colossians 1, verse 20. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. Maybe a great verse for our current time and place. People and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together and in vibrant harmonies, all because of Jesus' death, his blood that poured down from the cross. Part of the skill of hand that we all need to grow in is leading your church in effective participation with God in mission. God is redeeming all people, places, and things, and we get to be a part of that. And so part of the skill of hand that I would encourage you to grow in, Brent, is that of helping your church hear God's voice together. There's a great story in Acts 15 as the church is early on in its mission, and they started to cross cultural barriers and boundaries, and not everybody was like them. And they had to bring the church together to say, what is God saying? How do we do that? And there's a skill to listening to the voice of God. And at the end of some things, as they sought to move forward, they said, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. Lead that way as well. Brent, I'm going to urge you to continue to effectively communicate Scripture. Listen to 2 Timothy verse 4. I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone, living and dead. He is about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message with intensity. Keep your watch, challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit, and keep it simple. The word of God, Scripture, is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Brent, continue to grow in your ability to communicate Scripture and what Scripture itself says. Grow in those areas and that skill of hand for what you need. Another way I'm going to urge you to continue to grow is to learn the skill of hand of training and releasing others for mission and ministry. So often, we believe we pay our pastors to do ministry to us and mission for us, but Scripture tells us something different. Scripture tells us that the role of our apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers is actually to equip us, the church, so that we can serve even more effectively here in our church and in our community and in the global community. And sometimes there's that temptation that says, it's about us, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and yet the role of yours is to equip your church for effective mission and ministry. So we go back to that idea, congregation, of what does it mean to overwhelm your leaders with appreciation? Well, one of the great ways we do this when it comes to skill of hand is just availing yourself to the training, to the building up that takes place within the body of Christ. And some of that means that you're going to far more effectively participate in mission. We saw one example of it here. I know you actively partner with the global move of the Alliance. Continue to participate in the mission that God has called you to and allow the church to train you to do so. Here's some stuff I love about your church. You are leading the way as we seek to reach to some of the most marginalized communities within our culture. You're helping other churches. Keep doing that. You're leading the way in unique ways of creating disciples. It's a part of our vision prayer, even in technology. So continue to support that mission. But then, church, if you want this to be a great launch party, continue to serve effectively in ministry to each other. So yes, we need to serve mission in the community, but also ministry to one another. Discover your spiritual gifts, use them. And then, as Pastor Mike has already mentioned, take time to make sure that you're supportive of the church. That's your finances. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about words of encouragement. Talked about even coming and giving ideas and input into the direction of the church. What a great way to start. We want to launch this new ministry for you as a church very effectively. For Brent and for Lori very effectively as well. And so, Brent, lead with integrity of heart. Lead with skill of hand. Congregation, work together with Brent and with the other pastors and your leaders in this. The prophet Jeremiah spoke these words to a group of people that were displaced, to a group of people that had gone through trauma, but there was something exciting about the future. And it's Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and God says, I know the plans I have for you. And I think about that for here and now, and we've been in this global state of being a bit displaced. It is really nice to see a bunch of people together, and maybe next week I'll actually see you. We've been displaced, and we know, and we've prayed for trauma taking place in our world, even here and right now. And God says to you, Cochrane Alliance, to you, Brent and Lori, I know the plans I have for you, plans for hope, plans for a future, plans to prosper you, and plans to bless you as well. At this point, part of this way that we launch a new ministry is I'd like to invite Brent and Lori to come, and the elders and Mike to come, and we want to be praying for Brent, praying for you as a church as you begin this new ministry.
God, as we come before you this morning, we are so thrilled that we can celebrate this day. And God, as we look back over the past year and a bit of transition, we can see that you have been working in so many ways. And God, we thank you for the many answered prayers that have brought us to this point. God, as we welcome Brent and Lori and their children into the Cochrane Alliance family, we just pray that we might lavish them with all the love and support that they need to flourish in our family. And God, for Brent, we pray that you would give him a clear vision. Would you shine your light on the path that you have for him? And God, we pray that you would empower him as he seeks to preach your word. We pray that you would empower him as he seeks to provide leadership. And God, we just know that you have great things in store for Brent and Lori and their family and for this church. And God, we know that that the name of Jesus will be glorified. And God, it's in his name that we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I get to pray as well. Lord, I thank you for Brent and for Lori. I thank you that you have called and equipped him for such a time as this here at Cochrane Alliance. Lord, I pray that he would lead with integrity of heart and with skill of hand, that he would model a deep love for you, for Lori, for this congregation. Lord, I pray that he would, now as we think of skill of hand, the gifts that you've given him, that you would fan the flame on those gifts and he would serve more effectively. And Lord, we pray as well, if there are different skills or gifts that he needs, that through this laying on of hands, through the elders, that he would receive those now as he seeks to lead effectively here and seeing Cochrane hear from you and respond in obedience. I pray for he and Lori that you would draw them close together and close to you during this new time. And Lord, many years from now, as we look back at the start, this new launch, this celebration, this party of today, that we would say, thank you, God, for all the great things that you have done in and through this church with Brent's leadership. So bless them, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen.